Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perhaps to your shock, your horror, you discover a loved one is cutting. This is Wretched Radio. Mark Shaw speaking at the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors Conference, a lecture that you can hear in totality on Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3, available now at wretched.org, dealing with issues of depression, anxiety, suicide, and self-injury. Mark Shaw is leading us through a biblical understanding, putting the Bible on top of an emotional issue to bring about biblical clarity, to understand what the issue is and what it isn't. The world can't touch what the Bible pinpoints. And we need to bring the Bible to a very confusing situation. Somebody who feels good by inflicting pain on themselves. It's counterintuitive. Therefore, it feels mysterious. Mark Shaw, by using biblical language, no, it's a worship issue. It's a sin issue. It's a perfectionism issue. It is a priestly issue. It's a shedding of blood issue. It's a forgiveness of sins issue. Suddenly, we start to receive clarity. Okay, it's confusing because we don't use the right language to identify what it is. We don't use the right categories. We let the world define them. We need to let the Bible speak. Mark Shaw is going to present 7 principles to guide you through guiding somebody who has admitted to you, I've been hurting myself.
First, self-injurers are experiencing normal human emotions. It's normal to lament. Remember, there's a book in the Bible called Lamentations, yeah. Right? This is a normal thing that they're experiencing. They're grieving ritualistically, but not grieving in a way that God intended. God commanded his people to be holy or set apart in their grief for the dead, according to Leviticus 19:28. You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. Mm. I am the Lord. Mm. So as an act of worship, Christians are to grieve, but not like unbelievers who have no hope. The self-injurer is feeling deep loss, very similar to the feeling of losing a loved one. It is grief, often mixed with anger.
And the response is normal. It's wrong, but it's normal. And we see it prohibited in Leviticus. This is what unbelievers would do. Feeling such a sense of loss and grief and hopelessness, they would hurt themselves. They would cut themselves, shed their own blood as a way of expressing lament. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Lament rightly. Lament with one another. Lament with an understanding of God's sovereignty. Lament with an understanding of hope. Lament with an understanding of God's love for you. Lament indeed, but it must be done biblically. The self-injurer is responding to something hard. This perhaps helps us to not put self-injury into a column of crazy like the world does. Oh, that's mental illness. No, it's not. It's a sinful response to something painful, and humans are supposed to respond to painful things. We're just supposed to do it rightly. So when the biblical counselor identifies this individual is experiencing something that is normal, grief, a lament, then the biblical counselor can encourage them to repent of the way that they are expressing their lamentation and then show them how to rightly lament. How to do it biblically. And one of the best ways that we can do that is by lamenting with them.
So our first presupposition is that this sadness is normal. They are not mentally ill, they're not diseased, and they don't have some theoretical disorder. As biblical counselors, encourage weeping with those who weep. Encourage biblical lamenting and grieving with hope. Hope in Christ. Enter into their sadness with them. Sadness is not something to be covered up by a pill.
That's right.
None of our emotions are designed to be covered up by pills.
They are to be expressed rightly. How hopeful is that? How hopeful is it to say, no, not NSSI, not a clinical name, and we're not going to call you mentally ill. You're not crazy. You're experiencing human emotions in response to the fall and sin and evil. That's right that you're feeling that way, but we must express it rightly, and you can with a theological understanding of why things happen in this world. How hopeful is that? This reminds me of PTSD, a horrible moniker, post-traumatic stress disorder. Let's just say somebody, and this is typically the experience of one who gets slapped with the label PTSD, they've either seen awful things or they've been asked to do things that are just not the way we humans were built. Even when it's just in taking the life of another human being, that doesn't mean it's easy. The worst person on death row, you're the one responsible for flipping the switch, mixing the chemicals. It's still participating in that. That's heavy. And somebody who is responding to it with that angst or that grief or that sorrow, or perhaps they're even feeling guilt, rightly or wrongly, they are heavy and weighed down by it. It's not a disorder. It's human. What hope the Bible brings when we let it do its probing work. Principle number one in guiding the self-injurer through their issue, lament with them because they're lamenting. They're doing it wrongly. They just need to learn how to do it rightly. Principle number two.
My second foundational truth is that some self-injurers are true sufferers trying to find meaning from the trauma, horrors, and disappointments of this life. Not everybody, but many of them are. We know this because behavior follows beliefs. In other words, their self-harm behaviors reveal their faith or unbelief, which is really lack of faith. And assuming they're willing to change, your task then is to provide them with God's word of truth so that their false beliefs are replaced with biblical truth so that they become people who worship in God in spirit and in truth.
Oh, helpful is that. They're groping for meaning, getting this figured out. How do I live in this world? They are looking to answer one of the big questions of life. They're just doing it sinfully. Oh, sin? Do you have to call it sinfully? Yes, because the Bible calls it sinful. But there's good news for sinful people. Repent of it. Believe rightly. Increase your faith. By trusting in God, by studying His Word, look at the power that is available when we use biblical language to define what the world calls a clinical scenario. There's genuine hope in this for somebody who is struggling, and you can show that person hope. My friend, I'm going to lament with you because there are things worth lamenting, and you've experienced those things. But I care about you enough to offer you hope that can only be found when we address the issues rightly and we do some deep soul searching, because God promises that He'll help us and He'll bring clarity to the issue if we humble ourselves and let His word do its cutting to excise the cancer that is inside of us that is growing and consuming you. And you will at the end have hope, and you will have victory because God has the power to help you when we understand the issue biblically. Now, here's a question. What if the self-injurer doesn't want to change their beliefs?
If the self-injurer is unwilling to change these beliefs, then they will continue to appear to be insane to other people. But it's not insanity. It's unwillingness.
Yeah.
It's rebellion against the one true God, who maybe they don't even know the one true God, who He really is. And I don't like to say a self-injurer is in rebellion, especially one who is a sufferer from a traumatic abuse situation, let's say.
That's right.
But they are responding to that suffering in a sinful way, and that's the truth.
It's a delicate balance, but truth is good, isn't it? and Jesus was full of grace and truth. And don't we all kind of long for that? Just give it to me straight. Don't give me a slant. Don't give me an angle. Don't think you know what's, but just give it to me straight. And Jesus gives it to us straight. And he calls a spade, and he calls a sin, principle number three.
Third foundational truth to help you as you're counseling, self-harm's a sin. That's pretty obvious. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 is familiar. Or do you not know that your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, so you are not your own, you're bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And one counseling I had over 10 years ago, self-harm, said to me in the second session, I didn't realize this was sin. I need to stop doing this. She was convicted, and the Holy Spirit gave her a new motivation to begin living to please God. Sometimes what seems obvious to us isn't obvious to the people we're counseling. You need to state that for them.
Don't you love the Bible? Isn't this book just never-ending? You and I see things mysteriously that are confusing to us. The Bible sees it with perfect clarity. We will let Mark Shaw continue to help us lose the confusion and understand self-injury biblically next on Wretched Radio.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now, always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here, we're growing. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. Maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, you want to hear something crazy? There is someone out there who wants to match your generosity dollar for dollar. Fortis Institute has received a $500,000 matching grant. That means every gift you give between now and December the 31st, it gets doubled. Let me break it down for you. If you give $75, it becomes $150. You send $300, it turns to $600. Just visit FortisInstitute.org and watch your gift do double duty, because in a world where everything seems to cost twice as much, isn't it nice to have something worth twice as much instead?
Books of the Bible. 1st and 2nd Kings relate the history of Israel from Solomon through the division of Israel into two kingdoms to the destruction of both kingdoms. Though Israel and Judah and their kings were often unfaithful, God continually calls his people to repentance through his prophets. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The power of biblical counseling. This is Wretched Radio. If you've never been exposed to true, pure biblical counseling, prepare to see its power. Expressed in the issue of self-injurious behavior, Mark Shaw, he is the founder of the Addiction Connection, speaking at the ACBC conference on issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. He tackled a subject which he has counseled many times, the individual who harms themselves, acting like a priest, shedding their own blood for the forgiveness of failing to meet their own perfectionistic standard, or an individual who feels shame, who feels the need, I've got to do something to get over this shame, I've got to shed blood. They're acting like a priest, and they need to understand you've already got one. His name is Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. You don't have to, because he did. And we can speak to the individual who is struggling and confused and trying to understand themselves because they are self-deceived. We all do it all the time. While the world calls it a disorder or a mental illness, the Bible says, nope, there are some truths that will bring clarity, starting with, this is not mental illness when somebody wants to cut themselves. If you have a child who is doing this, your child is not nuts. Your child is struggling. Your child is sinning. That's good news for the Christian. Anytime we hear about sin, we can go, there's hope. I don't know what the sin is, but there's hope for it. Because the Bible says there is power to those who are in Christ to overcome sin. We do grow in sanctification when we label the issue rightly. And if you are an individual who has, or perhaps does, hurt themselves, you're not crazy. You're just a sinner. Just like the rest of us. You're lamenting. You're just doing it wrongly. You're worshiping, just not rightly. And perhaps you're striving, trying to figure things out, get things in order. You don't have to, my friend. The Lord does. And his word reveals that order. And then we simply just need to increasingly get in alignment with it. He'll fix you. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll change your thinking. He'll help you to repent. He'll help you to love him more and sin less. Another truth that guides us as we go about the business of dealing with what appears to be a mysterious issue when we let the world define the terms, the self-injurer actually has, they've got a purpose in self-injury. They are using it for something.
My fourth foundational truth is that the self-injurer uses the behaviors of self-harm as a tool. What tool will I use to create my best self? Will it be cocaine, heroin, fentanyl, cutting myself, gambling, a new car, a new boyfriend, money? All of those are tools. They're just tools that the idolaters use to create their very best version of the God of self. And they spend a lot of time on that. And I don't have time to read it, but Isaiah 44, 9-20, verses 12 and 13 really focus in on the tools that the idolater is going to use to create their idol.
The self-injurer is just using the wrong tools to fashion the wrong God, to accomplish the wrong end. That's all. That's all. Now, is it that simple? Of course not. Human emotions are tricky things. They're deep things. They're profound things. But biblical categories, biblical understandings bring about biblical hope. Truth number five.
My fifth foundational truth to guide your thinking is that the self-injurer is indeed crying out for attention. It is often, but not always, a cry for help and for validation as a human being seeking self-worth. One of the most famous self-injurers of all time was a so-called perfect person. A real-life princess in a 1995 BBC interview on television, Princess Diana said, "You have so much pain inside yourself. You try and hurt yourself on the outside because you need help." This beloved princess, who some deemed as nearly perfect, was cutting her arms and legs. The blood she shed was a bright red stream, as secularists call it now.
If you know somebody who's hurting themselves and they say they don't want to talk about it, they're lying. They want help. Your goal as a loved one is to enter in. Takes time, perhaps. Scary. Don't beat down the door. Keep tapping, keep knocking until they open up, because they are using self-injury as a cry for attention, because they are hurting and lamenting wrongly. Do we ever see this concept that Mark Shaw is outlining for us in the Bible? Yeah.
And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them.
What story is that? That would be your 1 Kings 18. The priests of Baal, they didn't get what they wanted. They were embarrassed. They were ashamed. So what did they do? They went about the business of expressing their lament to get their God's attention by...
And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. And just like the prophets of Baal, many times the self-injurer is crying out for attention, not just the attention of mankind, although that's sometimes the case, but for the attention of God.
Don't forget that, counselor. Principle truth number 6.
A 6th foundational truth is that the self-injurer believes their problems are external and their solutions are internal, but the opposite is really true. Yeah. In a revealing interview, Princess Diana stated her theories of what caused her bulimia and self-harm. And I quote, "The cause was the situation where my husband and I had to keep everything together because we didn't want to disappoint the public. And yet, obviously, there was a lot of anxiety going on within our four walls." Well, notice the anxiety wasn't in her heart. Mm-hmm. It was within her four walls. It was the situation. It was the externalities. Her marriage was stressful. The anxiety of keeping up a perfect appearance to other people. Perfectionism. She was motivated to live for herself. And at that time, she wasn't trusting in Jesus Christ. So that's heartbreaking.
The Bible speaks a different word. Our problems are not external. Yeah, they're problems, but that's not what's causing us to sin. It's our hearts that cause us to sin. Truth number 7.
A 7th and final foundational truth is that the self-injurer is self-loathing, but with incorrect motivations. Let me explain. A female self-injurer said this, "I've hated everything about me, from my looks to my unstable personal relationships. I feel hopeless and worthless, as if I have no one to turn to. I'm angry, so I punish myself." She said she hates her looks, which she cannot fully control, and the feelings these externalities provoke. It's counterintuitive, but true, that the Bible teaches us to self-loathe our sins.
Mm-hmm. See how the Bible rightly directs us? Furthermore, we need to remember a component of self-loathing. I'm not happy about this scenario, my body parts, the way that I look, what I weigh, etc. There's also pride mingled in, because we think that we should have those things. We think perhaps we do deserve those things. The Bible helps pride-filled people. The Bible helps self-loathers. The Bible offers hope and power.
Once we loathe our sin, then the Bible teaches us to love our Savior. Loathe your sin and love your Savior. We do have value. We do have purpose. We have meaning. We have great worth because we're made in God's image and called to walk in the works He prepared beforehand. We are image bearers of the Lord, whose identity is in Christ alone.
How hopeful is that? When we let the Bible do the talking and when we let the Bible do the examining, remembering 7 biblical truths will help you to help someone who is hurting.
So to review our 7 foundational truths, sadness is normal. This is not mental illness. Amen. Behaviors follow beliefs. Self-harm is a faith statement. 3rd, self-harm is a sin. 4th, self-harm behaviors are tools used by the sinner to fashion their idol of self. And 5, self-injurers are crying out for attention. They need help, and they need your help to draw near to the one true God. 6, self-injurers believe their problem is external while their solution is internal, but the opposite is true. Self-injurers are self-loathing, but not their sin. their circumstances, and that's really the love of self.
And the Bible enters in, diagnoses, prognoses, gives power, gives strength, gives a body of believers to support you. If you are struggling with the issue of self-injury, would encourage you to seek a biblical counselor. If you know somebody who is injuring themselves, become a biblical counselor, and you can walk alongside of those who are simply worshiping wrongly. Man, how hopeful is that? And if you do struggle with an emotional issue, I would like to encourage you also, if you are willing, we could use your help. We are creating a new biblical counseling TV show. We want to show the power of biblical counseling in action, and we'd like you to be in it. Would you consider that? Visit wretched.org/casting. We are casting for our new biblical counseling show. And if you're willing to help others by being a bit vulnerable, we would love to hear from you. wretched.org/casting. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.